till we first pause and honor your sweet spirit that is hovering over this gathering, this assembly, to do what you desire to do. Lord, I desire to get out of the way. I want you, we want you to do what you desire. And Lord, I don't believe it was just a cliche that we came up with when we said, no more church as usual. I believe that was a cry of our hearts to say, there is something more. There is something more. There is something more. And we're tired of the mundane. We are fed up with our complacency, Lord, just settling for what we're accustomed to and settling for mediocrity. Just settling, Lord, and just relaxed. Being in our comfort zone. Forgive us. So I believe you desire to do some breaking in us. You desire to hone in on things, Lord, in our lives that stand in the way of our seeing you. You desire to touch each one of our hearts and make us and mold us into your image so that we can really truly be ambassadors for you, to extend and spread the love that you have given us, your mercy and your grace to others. And Lord, your word says that we are to love you with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And Lord, we don't know how to do that unless you show us, unless you empower us, which you have. And you said that that same love that we are to love one another, love others, love our neighbors, and if we do that, you're pleased. You're glorified. And we want to do your will. We want to do the things, Lord, that please you. We want our lives to honor you. So, Lord, today, as we worship you, for we call this a worship service, and many times it's little worship. As we worship you,
yes, Lord,
and honor you this day,
hallelujah.
Oh God, Lord, break our hearts. Break our hearts. Give us hearts of flesh. Change us, Lord. Have your way this morning. Have your way this morning. Holy Spirit, have your way. God, we honor you. We bless you. You are great, wonderful God. There is none like you. No one who even comes close. Not the best of the best. None like you. You're indescribable. You're the greatest of the greatest. You're majestic in all of your ways, oh God. And our hearts say, we love you. We say we love you. And we appreciate you, our Father, our God. Wonderful and mighty are you. We bless you today. We bless you. I want you to be free to worship God, worship the Lord the way you desire. Let's get out of our comfort zones. Ask him to show you how to just ascribe to him what's due him. Ascribe to him what's due him. This may be new for you. This may be different for you. But step out of your comfort zone. And in your own way, you ascribe to God what's due him. We say that worship is our active response to God's revelation of himself, whereby we declare his worth. It's our active response to who God has revealed to you of himself, whereby you declare his worth. You tell him how worthy he is. You tell him in your own way. He wants to hear from you. He wants it from you. Hallelujah. I pray that none of us missed out on this. I don't want to call it a wave, but it's a sweet, sweet communion encounter with the Lord, the presence of God this morning. I believe God wants to do something fresh and new in us. You may be seated. Sometimes even with age, we tend to lock in and do things the same way, expect the same things, and becomes a settling, a little tradition, our own little personal traditions. And God wants, he wants us to be in position where he can always show us something new and fresh, that we don't become stifled and just set in our ways. Amen. Amen. Wow. What sweet, sweet communion with the Lord, sweet presence of the Lord. I want to share just a little bit this morning. Recently, my heart has really been touched here recently, and I've been examining myself a lot, particularly considering the messages that have gone forth recently through Pastor Greg, the last couple of Sundays, Wednesday, then Minister Philip Fain this past Wednesday night. Pastor Greg talked about an invitation to coming closer to the Lord. And I believe even what just happened, just that little trickle, that was God inviting us to come closer. How do we come closer? We respond to him. First of all, we hear what he says. We heard that invitation. If he tells us to come closer, I believe he's made a way, if I can say that, a way for us to come. He set if I can say, a path for us to come closer. And our coming closer to him, some of this will happen as a result of our listening to the Lord in our little everyday activities. And he will show us. He'll show us things about us. He'll show us things that stand in the way that prevent us from drawing nearer. Pastor Greg talked about before God formed man, he had a purpose for him. I'm purposefully going slow this morning because I don't want to rush through. I want us to think about what's being said. So many times we rush it through because of time. I don't even know what time we started. Somebody can help me. But we rush it through, and we don't take a moment to pause, that little Selah moment, and really digest and hear what he's saying. So you gotta hang with me, because I'm going slow on purpose. Okay? Okay. So I have a part here, you have a part to listen. I believe God will give us all understanding. Not that I'm tending to be deep, but I believe God will give us understanding. One of the things, Pastor Greg mentioned that he mentioned a thing in particular that keeps us from coming closer to the Lord. And I won't tell you what that is right now. He talked about our intimacy with the Lord, and he said that the level of our intimacy is reflective of the level of our proximity. So that's why we're to come closer to the Lord. When we come closer, we have intimacy. God can talk to us. God can lead us. He can guide us. He can direct us, because there's a song, it reminds me of, it's a song that we sing about kind of laying on Jesus' chest. You know, we can hear his heartbeat. You know that song that I'm talking about? I believe God, and I mean, I know that's just a little, you know, physical way of saying it, kind of a little object lesson, so to speak. But so close to him that we're on the beat. We know what it is he's saying to us and what he's trying to do in us and through us. Okay. He said, let's not get satisfied with our worship. Let's not get satisfied with our worship. Truly, we may have grown in some areas of worship, but we don't want to camp there. God is so big. He's inexhaustible. And we don't want to lock in, and we don't want to box him in. We want to draw near so that we can have intimacy with him. And that's going to help us in a whole lot of areas when we're intimate with the Lord, because then we will learn how to love one another. It starts this way first, and then it goes this way. We talked about it. I mentioned the definition, our definition of worship, our active response to God's revelation of himself, how God reveals himself. Our theme this year is God's manifested presence. We're not through with that yet. God is not through with us with that yet, because he wants to manifest his presence. Then what happens with us, As Pastor James Deloney shared back in March, God's manifest presence is us. Is us. We reveal the Lord to others by our lives, the fruit of the Spirit that's in us. When people see us, God is not here in the flesh. God made a way. He had a plan. He had a purpose before the foundations of the world. And believe it or not, you are part of that. He had a purpose. And without going through the whole creation story, we know that there's the love relationship between the Father and the Son. We know that Adam and Eve decided to take things in their own hands, and they kind of mapped out their own journey, so to speak. And you know, kind of self, their self-fulfillment, they kind of mapped it out on their own. And as a result, the whole system was thrown off. However, when I say that, God didn't have to change anything. He didn't have to come up with a new plan because he knew already what was going to happen. And he already had a plan before the foundations of the world. He didn't put a plan in place after Adam and Eve sinned. He didn't have to say, okay, oh my God, they've messed up and now I got to figure out something else. No, he already made provision. He already had a plan. So now we come down to God revealing he never changed. Even after man sinned against him, he never changed. He still loved and he still desired a relationship with man, and he made a way for that. So then he sent Jesus to manifest his love. Jesus came. He performed miracles. He did all kinds of deeds and signs and wonders so that the people could see his relationship to his Father. But even the religious leaders, the Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees, when Jesus started to talk about loving God and loving man, and it kind of crushed their traditions, they could not. He elevated the love of God, the love of man, above their traditions, and they weren't having that because they love their tradition. They love their tradition. You know, they love that religiosity. They love that. So then, Jesus crucified. He sent his spirit back to us, praise God. Church began. And somewhere down the road, that message of love, that message of forgiveness, that message of grace became diluted. Those that were chosen, some of those that were chosen, all of them weren't chosen by God, but some of those that just decided, there were many gospels, so to speak, that were preached. Many, many gospels. False gospel, doctrines of devils. So the message deviated from the real truth. And then we bring it on down to where we are now. And it's still happening. It's still happening. But God has a purpose. We are part of that. Brother Fang talked about the pathway to purpose. He described purpose. He said purpose, or defined it, purpose is the reason something is done, created, or exists. The reason that something is done, created, or exists is the aim or goal of what one is to do or become. The aim or goal of what one is to do or become. We gotta become before we do, or try to do. Amen. Let me just play on that word a little bit. Pastor Greg talked about becoming. He talked about the word become. That means to grow, to change, to come to be. That's what the word of God is doing in us, is helping us to become, provided we take the word and apply it to our lives, to grow, to change, to become. He says there's got to be more to life than me. We were created to know God and make him known. We were chosen for that reason as well, to know God and to make him known, to glorify him. Minister Payne went on to say, he asked the question, how do we discover purpose? He answered that by saying we have to see God and see him rightly. You guys remember that? Okay, I'm going over some. Y'all owe me, because I'm going over a lot. I took some good notes, because I'm telling you, this word challenged me. This word challenged me. My heart has been touched by this. Because it's got to start with me when I say no longer, no church, not usual. What, how do I say it? We're not having church as usual. Okay, well, it's got to start with me. So even the way I receive can't be my usual way. If it's my usual way and my normal way, I'm on a sad path because there are a lot of changes that need to happen in me. So it's not a one-sided thing, but I play a major part in this. And we're going to talk some more, and you're going to see where you play a part in this too. Thank God that he never gives up on us. He never gives up on us. And when he corrects us, the word of God says over in, I believe it's 2 Timothy 3 and is it 14? I'm going to ask my little Bible son-in-law to help. The one that talks about the scripture is inspired of God and is given for correction, instruction, reproof, instruction in righteousness, reproof. 3:16, I was just off a couple of them, Elijah. So God gives us his word to, and you guys heard this message before, heard me say this before, to help us to get on track, to see when we get back, see how to get back on track, and to help us stay on track. So he doesn't just beat us up when he gives a corrective word. He's not just, you know, being mean, but he's doing it for our good. Correction, instruction in righteousness, and reproof. All right. So this word has challenged me. It's challenged me in a big way. All right. So Minister Fain asked, he asked us a question after he answered, after he said, we have to see God and see him rightly. Then he asked the question, what's blocking your view? What's blocking your view? That's a Selah moment. But you definitely will have to meditate on that when you get home. And you might have to pull out a pen and pad or your phone or whatever you use. Because if I believe when we truly want to know, God will make it known to us. Usually we are, it's difficult for us to see certain things like this, things that are blocking our view, are blind spots that we have. And until we get quiet and go before the Lord, God can show you some things. He might even use somebody close to you to show you. But generally, when that happens, we don't like that. We don't like for somebody else to point it out. So if you don't want somebody else to point it out, which God will probably still allow them to do it, you might want to get before the Lord and say, Lord, show me. Show me what's blocking my view. He said, what does God have to remove or take from me to make me see him more clearly? Now, that hit like a dagger. I said remove. He said take from us. And you know, when we think about something being taken from us, we're like a child. You know, that's mine. We want to hold on to that. But sometimes God has to take away something or some things from us in order for us to see him more clearly. It may even be a mindset. We can get stuck and caught in our philosophies, our intellect, what we think we know, and it stands in the way because we are so locked in. We're like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved. Okay. Sometimes he even has to bring us to a place of despair, brokenness. But sometimes even with brokenness, we're not broken enough. And he has to put us in a place where we experience despair. And it's not to kill us. It's amazing how God can take what appears to be a bad situation and cause it to work for our good. He's the only one who can do that. He does a great job with it. Have you ever been in a situation where you couldn't find God in that situation with a magnifying glass? You could not find God. You couldn't sense God anywhere in that mess. But then later on, you realize that indeed God had a hand in it. He had a hand in it. And it helped you. It helped you to see him more clearly, and it helped you to walk this thing out the way God desires for us to walk it out, for you to walk it out. Hallelujah. So with those two messages, were your hearts not convicted? Oops. I pray that your hearts were convicted. Convicted to move to self-examination. Convicted. We don't like that word sometimes. That's the one Pastor dropped on us right before he left going to South Africa. He talked about conviction and what else? Let me see if y'all listen. Conversion and what else? Repentance. Very good. Pastor, I hope you're listening. I hope you're watching. You said you want this church to be healthier when you return than when you left. I believe, we believe, that you're going to come back to a healthier church. Cross Culture, do me a favor. Let's stand, because I guarantee you he's going to look at this. Just stand up a moment. Turn around to the camera. Say, hey, Pastor, we got this. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So he talked about conviction, conversion, repentance. Make sure you, if you didn't catch those, if you didn't get that when Pastor preached the message, I want you guys to write those words down in big, bold letters. Okay? He said it's dangerous to be convicted and not repent and be converted. He said, we repent, God converts. Amen? Don't y'all go to sleep on me this morning, because I was up late last night. Locked in all day yesterday, didn't I? My husband was teasing me. He called and he said, I know you locked in, right? I was like, you got it. You know I'm locked in today. I've been locked in for some days. I want to hear from the Lord. And he said, the depth of our conviction determines the depth of our conversion. He talked about understanding the sinfulness of sin. And when we understand what God really did in our life, I mean, you know, we were some cases, not just because of what we did. What is that saying? It's not that we sin and that makes us sinners, but we're sinners, therefore we sin. Did I say that right? Y'all hear what I'm talking about, right? So it's not your doings that made you that. We were all sinners and we needed a Savior. And thank the Lord, He sent a Savior. Okay? So when we have to sometimes just go back and remember the price that Jesus paid for us. We have to remember, we have to understand the sinfulness of sin. Here's the righteousness of God, the holiness of God, and we're completely opposite. I don't care how good we were. And you guys hear me, I mention it every time. I thought I was a little Miss Goody Two Shoes. Didn't know, blind. Thank God that someone obeyed the Lord enough to share the gospel with me. And one day I'll share my story with you guys who haven't heard it. It was sweet how the Lord apprehended me. So we understand that conviction is a good thing. All right. Let me go back. Remember I said I was going to come back to this word that Pastor Greg shared when he mentioned that one thing that keeps us from coming closer to God, the big C, Christians. I'm kidding. He didn't say that. That's probably what y'all are thinking. Yeah, I know who keeps me from coming close to God. Sister such and such, because she just gets on my nerves. You know I'm trying to walk this thing out. The big C is not your Christian brother or sister. The big C is complacency. Complacency. All right. Get your pens and your pads, because I'm going to do you like I did you the other time. You know when I give these long, drawn-out definitions? This long list, I do that for a reason, because sometimes when you get a definition that's just got two little parts, you kind of miss it. But when you got a big list of them, you're going to remember a few of those. So, all right, let's do this. Complacency. All right. Here we go. A self-satisfied state of negligence or carelessness, especially in relations to one's personal situation, often without awareness of some potential danger. You don't have to write all of that one down. I'll give you that one later because it's kind of long, but I'll go over it once more. A self-satisfied state of negligence or carelessness, especially in relation to one's personal situation, often without awareness of some potential danger. It means being comfortable, kind of like we are right now, relaxed, unbothered, untroubled, casual, apathetic, indifferent, disinterested, cool as a cucumber, undisturbed, unaffected, unmoved, snug as a bug in a rug, complacency. And complacency, now you can chew on that for a minute, but sometimes complacency brings with it a little, another counterpart that's called lethargy. It's where when you're lethargic, lack of energy, inactive. The original meaning is inactive through forgetfulness. It's usually subtle, slow in the onset, and it's dangerous because it's not so visible. It's a gradual process, but because of forgetfulness, we can become lethargic. Jot down Deuteronomy 8:14, and I'll wait for you to pull that up. So appreciate you guys up there. Angie, you guys help us so much. You help us so much that people stop bringing their Bibles to church. Y'all better stop. You know, technology doesn't always work, okay? I don't know, I like to feel the paper and the pages, and I like to kind of handle this Bible myself. I mean, it's not a sin if you pull out your little phones and, you know, your little smartphones and all of that, your little tablets. That's okay. However, all right. Is this the one that talks about forget? Okay. And I don't like to start a scripture like right in the middle of a sentence. I don't. I really like to go back and start it from the beginning. I know you guys want me to do that, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to this one. When your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I didn't do y'all much justice on that. But there are lots of scriptures that talks about the consequences of forgetfulness. So that means you got to do some work too. All right. Because I didn't do very well with bringing that scripture by itself. So go back and read the whole thing. But forgetfulness is a big part of lethargy. So these are deadly hindrances to our spiritual growth. And they really, really are dangerous to our thirst for God. They stand in the way because we get so comfortable. Our little thirst are quenched with the, you know, just the little mediocre. You know, I've been saved for 30 years and, you know, I some of the most complacent people, some of the most complacent people are people who come to church every Sunday. They wouldn't miss a worship service. They wouldn't miss communion. They give their tithes and offerings. They love, you know, they love, they like God. I said it first. I was convicted. I had to examine myself, so I'm not pointing this way. Well, let me change that. Be honest, I'm pointing both ways. But some of the most complacent of us are those who are involved, but we settle. We don't expect a change. We don't even feel the need to grow because we've learned a lot over the years and we got this thing. And God says, you're sweet, but you're stubborn. It doesn't look like stubbornness, does it? But when you're set in your ways, that's a little bit of stubbornness in there when you're not, when you're not willing to change, you're not willing to, as the song said earlier, surrender to the Lord. And we say total surrender. If we're all honest, I don't know. Sometimes when I sing it, I have to change and say, Lord, help me to totally surrender. Because in all honesty, I know that I'm not totally surrendered, but he wants me to be, and I need him to be. We need him to be. All right. All of us experience complacency from time to time. All of us do. If we're honest, we all experience complacency from time to time. But it's a real problem when it becomes lifestyle. And it can really easily become lifestyle with us. I mean, really. Because, you know, we're accustomed to doing things the same way. We're accustomed to listening the same way. We're accustomed to, habits, and, you know, we get locked in. We're on this little mode. We have this method. But if God wants to shift us and turn us, I'm not even talking about complacency in regards to, like, I want to show you just a story in the Bible of complacency. It's over in Amos, the 6th chapter. And again, this really is a wealth of insights in that. A wealth of insights in that whole story, the children of Israel. And, you know, they had everything going on, and life was beautiful. You know, they had all the stuff they needed. And you have to read that whole thing. They had all the stuff they needed, and God had really blessed them, and they forgot the Lord, and they laid back on their ivory beds and enjoyed life. But they didn't even have passion, definitely not passion for God, but compassion for others, for those that were around them that were in need. No compassion whatsoever. And you know, sometimes God will let chaos, like what's happening around our country right now. It's so much going on that I can't keep up with it. I didn't even know about the situation in Costa Rica. My husband mentioned it to me yesterday. You guys know about? Y'all didn't either. Okay. He said he saw it on BBC. But it was some disaster, and there were I thought he said 400,000 people that were without food and electricity and that. I said, I hadn't even seen that. But it's so much, we can't keep up with it. And we've had a few things that came close, but we were spared. Most of us were spared. I mean, recently, a few of y'all had electricity went out because of the hurricane, the residue of the hurricane. But I think I won't even talk about a lot of the other stuff. I'm not going to the White House today. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going there. We're going to keep it in his house. We're going to keep it in his house, okay? But with all of the things that are going on, and we become calloused, or we become relaxed, we're at ease, untroubled. And then some of the messages that we hear don't help us, because they say, like some of the false prophets said, it's okay. It's all right. All is well. All is well. When it wasn't. And we don't want to be thrown off and lose our footing because we weren't expecting this, or we weren't prepared when the chaos and the turbulence came, or when it comes, rather, we don't want to lose our footing. I've been praying, especially for those that have experienced the hurricanes and some of the disasters. I said, Lord, I pray that their faith does not fail them. I pray that their faith does not fail them because they're thrown off because of what's happening. But the Bible tells us that these things were going to come, were going to happen in the last day. But a lot of, I hate to do this. I don't like to sound like I'm just coming off on leaders, church leaders. But the truth is the truth. Amen. And Paul warned against it. Paul warned against it. You know, to watch out for those. But when we have messages that are just not God, it's not true, and you have no theology for trouble, no theology for disasters, no theology for sickness, disease, and the other things that we'll encounter, God help us. Help us to not be thrown off and lose our footing. So when it all said and done, we want stability. We need stability. And the Word of God is our stability, is our standard. Amen. Complacency can be fueled when we fail to use what we've learned. It can be fueled by that. That's why I'm going back and forth over what I've heard. I want to grab it. I want to get a hold of it because I want the Word of God to change me. I know I'm saying this over and over again, but I mean it, to change me. So even this word today is not to condemn us. It's not to condemn us, but hopefully it'll help us to push forward and get back on track, that we're not just be at ease and become overwhelmed with what's happening all around us. Amos 6:1, it talks about woe to you who are at ease in Zion and trust in Mount Samaria, notable persons in the chief nation to whom the house of Israel comes. Woe to you who are at ease. You're relaxed and you're laid back, and your trust is in everything else except the Lord. Amen. Complacency also fuels formality. I talked about that a little bit earlier. It when we become complacent, formality is just, you know, it's kind of okay, and we just keep going with that. Just form. No power, no spirit, just form. Don't we want truth? Don't we want authenticity? Don't we want the true and living God to be who he is in us and in our midst? But when we settle, when we become complacent, that complacency fuels that formality, and we're all right with it. And also, the things that really matter to God, the things that really should be priority and important, they begin to fade away, and that becomes the norm. God forbid. All right. Most importantly, complacency ruins our passion and our thirst for God. We think everything is just hunky-dory with our relationship with God. And when we really, really are honest, we realize that we are malnourished, spiritually malnourished, and we will remain that way if we don't change. Repentance back to that word, means a change, to turn. You go in the opposite direction. Changing our behavior. All right, I won't talk anymore about all of the tragedies, complacency, the tragic things that complacency called. I think we've shared enough on that. So how do we change that? We talked about coming closer to God, seeking the face of God. That's become a cliche, or can be just a cliche, if we just say it and we don't do it. Seeking the face of God. The word seek, it conveys a going to see. You know, we used to play hide and go seek. When you played hide and go seek, you didn't just stand there right and look and say, oh, he may be over behind there. No, he's probably up under the piano. You moved. You went. That was some action, some activity involved. So when we seek the face of God, it's more than just saying, you know, I'm just going to seek the face of God, read a little scripture and okay. But we're saying we want to know him. We're not talking about literally seeing his face, but to know him. And that requires some action on our part. Amen. Amen. So we want to seek the face of God for our lives. Finally, and as I refer back to repentance, before we repent, we have to admit our situation. We have to admit it first. Got to see it. Then you got to admit that this is a problem. And then repent. That's changing your behavior. Revelation 3:15, I think that's the one that talks about you left your first love. Earlier we talked about this whole thing is about loving the Lord. Loving others. Remember we talked about that? Okay. So when we repent, before we repent, we have to see it. We have to admit to our situation, then change our behavior. And the Holy Spirit will help us. He will help us to change our behavior. So finally, If we're all honest, we have to say that we have a need for revival. A revival that will drive us to love the Lord with all of our hearts, soul, minds, and strength, and cause us to care for others. An awakening that will cause us to be passionate for God. That's what we need. Amen. So if I could leave you with a thought today to just summarize what's been said, and I pray that this word has convicted us and not condemned us. It's never, ever meant to condemn, but to convict our hearts, to touch our hearts in a way that we are aware that of our state and understand that there is a change that is necessary in order for us to come closer to the Lord and bottom line, to please him and to glorify him. So let me just sum it up by saying, let's not remain complacent in our complacency. Amen. Let's not remain complacent in our complacency. Amen. Amen. Would you stand?